Greetings. This is Ernest Mann coming to you from America's Pacific Northwest, reaching out to those who enjoy insights and opinions you just won't hear anywhere else. By now, everyone's heard of the news concerning the downfall of Joe Rogan, and it's really great to hear some good news for a change. Let me explain. So from that statement, you might jump to the conclusion that I don't like Joe Rogan. Now, while I'll admit that I've never really been a fan of Joe Rogan, I don't hate him. I don't hate Joe Rogan any more than I hate long ago executed serial killer Ted Bundy or Donald Trump. Now, I can absolutely hate the things that these people did or do, but I don't hate them. Well, maybe in the case of Trump, I might be stretching things just a bit, but hear me out. My feeling is that things today have become very knee-jerk and reactionary, which I attribute to a largely spastic, non-thinking group of people, which, unfortunately, just happens to be a large percentage of the U.S. population right now. That, of course, does not include you, dear listener. You're obviously smarter than the average bear. The thing with Joe Rogan, though, is if you go way back when he first started his show, people liked him because he was at least relatable. He had some interesting guests and actually could even be fairly interesting to listen to. And then his show collapsed. Not in popularity, but in purpose. And I noticed this immediately. The change came practically overnight when he sold part of his soul to Spotify for that first $250 million. And the show simply became a lame grifter treadmill with creatures like word salad specialist Jordan Peterson and Terrence Howard. Howard, being a different type of word salad specialist, possesses the incredible ability that when asked a serious reality-based question, is able to respond with a most shockingly, most incomprehensibly stupid, non-reality-based psychobabble answer that even the word salad master Jordan Peterson would fear to pursue. And that's quite an accomplishment. I remember it was just about this time last year, I did an episode on Rogan. I believe it was called the Joe Rogan Million Dollar Challenge, that I'll just give you a cliff note on. If memory serves, I pointed out to Mr. Rogan that I was very aware of how the quality of his show had deteriorated since he decided to turn his show from the direction of interesting topics and at least relatively honest people into a conveyor belt of high-profile, successful grifters. And just as a brief aside, since I'm pitching names of those interviewed on Joe Rogan's show, let's not forget Graham Hancock, definitely an OG in the pseudo-archaeological outer space bros helping humanity get started grift, which is curiously, ad nauseum, the central theme of his endless tirade of bullshit in his many books. Yet Hancock couldn't actually speak any truth if the Anunnaki bit him in the ass. I'd like to offer Mr. Hancock my suggestion for a title to his upcoming book, as he always has an upcoming book. How about Graham Hancock, The Art of the Grift? To use one of Hancock's favorite terms, I believe it would be quite atropos. So let's see, where the hell was I? Oh yes, the Joe Rogan Million Dollar Challenge brief recap. So after giving Joe my 2 cents worth in that episode concerning the self-induced downward spiral of his show's quality, I made this simple proposal to him. To demonstrate to Joe that individuals are still capable of demonstrating character, I simply proposed that he offer to give me, with absolutely no strings attached whatsoever, $1 million. To actually send me a physical check made out to me in the amount of $1 million. And I would demonstrate to Rogan what character is by refusing to cash the check and return the check to him, or actually physically destroying it, whichever he chose. Not only did Joe Rogan not send me the requested $1 million, but refused to even respond at all. Now, not knowing me at all, offering to give me $1 million free and clear, I suppose I can understand. But not even responding? Come on, Joe. Did what I say about your show becoming little more than a parade of grifters piss you off that much? And as far as the $1 million, on second thought, maybe I do have something I'd like to add to that, Joe. You see, when I asked for that $1 million, that was even before you got the second $250 million payout from Spotify. So damn, it's not like you were eating cheap hot dogs with ramen noodles, as many people have to do, including yours truly. What's the worst that could have happened, Joe? Let's say I pulled a fast one, which I would never do, and actually cashed the check. What then? Well, the worst that could really happen to you, Joe, would be either the perceived foolishness of you being endlessly plastered all over the media for agreeing to do such a thing, of essentially giving away $1 million to an eccentric crackpot that challenged you having possession of any real and honest character as a person, or you claiming all along that you fully anticipated that the eccentric crackpot, that being me, was basically going to take the money and run. You simply decided on a whim to do a great charitable act for the eccentric crackpot to help them dramatically improve their life by putting them in a financial position where they should never have to eat cheap hot dogs and ramen noodles again. In either case, it would have been a media firestorm, and if you chose the second option, it would have even been better for you, because that $1 million relative lunch money, granted, it's a hell of a lunch, but still, relative lunch money for you, and would have paid massive dividends in public opinion. But alas, you let it go. All I can say, Joe, was that I was very disappointed that I didn't even get a response. At any rate, I'm not holding a grudge, Joe, and I really hope you can stop the grifter mill and turn your show around. And just so you know, Joe, I don't drink or do drugs. I don't gamble. I lead a very modest, boring life. So if you get this message and decide to act on anything or everything I've said here, the offer still stands, as I'm absolutely certain $1 million in cheap hot dogs and ramen noodles would last me a lifetime. Or as Jeffrey Lebowski from the movie The Big Lebowski would say, $1 million would really tie the room together, man. If you found this episode informative or entertaining, please consider subscribing. And if you just want to reach out to me with whatever's on your mind, do so by clicking on the contact link in the description below. And don't worry, you won't be put on any annoying mailing list. Okay? Okay. Until next time, this is Ernest, and that's all I've got for today.